The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on this, the Frank Sontag Show. And as always, we begin each hour with our impact segment, 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. One of the thoughts I would have as we begin, and it is dependent on you to respond, is that in part you can help program this first impact segment. What do I mean by that? If there is a story, an issue, something in the news that you are interested in, that you are following, you're passionate about, you have comments about, you can be, in a sense, the newsbreaker of yesteryear. There's a story we'll get to. You may have heard about Mr. Potato Head. This seems to be a breaking story. Culture changing. We can't have the mister in front of it, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're in the position of being a journalist, or you had a news story you wanted to break or share with a lot of people, what are you following right now? 888-528-2557. That's part of what we can do on Impact. 888-528-2557. Is there an issue, a story, something going on in the news or in the world or in our country that you are following and you're concerned about? And I'll give you the airwaves for a few moments. Now, I want to be very intentional here. You need to be proactive. You need to get on this quickly. Stereotypically, we'll get calls in 5 or 10 minutes, and then we're going to be at the end of Impact or we're going to be on to something else. But it was just kind of impressed upon me before we got on the air. I was looking through some stories and I thought, I bet there's people listening right now where you have access to stories, reading stories that I don't have, that you would like to, or at least you email me information. I get a number of emails every day. You send me a link. Hey, read this. So if you have something you want to convey over the airwaves, we'll give you a moment or two. 888-528-2557. That's one of the things that we can do on our impact segment. So the phones are open. If you light up the board, I'll take as many of you as I can. If we're quiet, we'll do counter programming. Part of the counter programming is like this. Now, for me, when I look to our culture and how things are changing rapidly and dramatically, I am struck by this undeniable sense of how fast things are changing. And I don't know if it's me. I was just talking to a dear friend before I got on the air, and he was kind of lamenting along the same lines, like, we used to think, I wonder how this is going to unfold. And it just seems like things have escalated very rapidly. We have something now called the Equality Act, which is anything but that. And yet you have an administration right now, and President Biden saying that this, we need to pass this immediately. And my thought is, what's the Equality Act, right? It sounds good, but if you read it, is it about equality? And part of what I think about and spend time in prayer about is, it seems as if, and maybe this is an illusion, maybe this is part of the dodge of the evil one. An example would be convincing people that we are so divided as a country, so we don't even have conversations, right? We buy into these perceptions. One of the perceptions is somehow that racism is really bad right now. That's not my perception. I think we do have a problem with racism, but I think it's much better than it's been historically speaking, undeniably. But how do we come to the conclusion of what's true and what's not? What's real and what's a fabrication? What's stated as truth versus what's a lie? And I see this more and more. And part of the mouthpiece is the mainstream media. They spout off. They've got their copy points and their buzzwords, and they all say the same things. You've got a president. And to my knowledge, there's been no outcry at this at all. Who recently said the following. I have the transcription in front of me. This is President Joe Biden. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or our inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination. What? That somehow Hispanic and African American people that live in the inner city, they don't know how to get on the internet? What is he talking about? And yet, in our positions, we hear loud and clear, we're bigots. I saw one person post what I just reiterated to you, what I read to you, called it the soft bigotry of low expectations. And yet there's some of you listening right now, and I've been pretty hard on the gas pedal on this one. Some of you right now, you profess to be Christians, and you voted for this administration. I don't know. Maybe you think this is a great alternative to what we had before. The Equality Act. Pushing things like open borders. Abortion. Absolutely. These are Christian values, all right? And yeah, there's a little bit of anger in me because I just think that it's one thing to make a decision based on information and you look back and you go, that was a mistake. But it's another thing to be silent as the body of Christ. Where were the people that risked their lives? The Bible says, no greater love hath he than to lay his life down for a friend. Now, she didn't literally lay her life down for a friend, but I'm reminded by this young woman who over the summer risked her life at the height of when we heard about Black Lives Matter, to the point where we were having murals painted in the streets, and somehow this was a great thing. Cities being burned down, looting, businesses being devastated. Do you know President Trump offered a number of cities to bring in the National Guard to help, and they said, no, thank you. And now, look at D.C. This is a man who built walls around our country, was vilified for it. Now we have an administration that has a 2+ mile barbed wire fence around the Capitol and troops everywhere. The same people that were screaming defund the police. And I think about this young woman who has risked and paid the price. Where are the Christians that are willing to shout no more?
Liars, in the name of Jesus, Jesus matters. Likewise, don't matter, Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Stand up. Take your country back.
Amen.
Take your country back.
Amen.
We're dying left and right. They're going to kill us. Take your country back. Take your country back. Take the USA back. Take it back. Take it back. Trump 2020. We don't care. They don't care about black people. They They want us to die and kill ourselves. That's what they want. That's what they want. In the name of Jesus. That's what they want. That's what they want.
They don't care about black people.
They don't care about black people. They don't care. They say Black Lives Matter. Yet they're going to defund the police, the same people protecting us. They don't care about black people. They don't care about us. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about us.
This needs to stop. This needs to stop.
Jesus. Jesus.
So if you're not familiar, her name is Bevelyn Beatty. And during the summertime, she actually, in New York, took to the streets with paint and splashed over the murals of Black Lives Matter, screaming Jesus Matters. Is there anything in life that you are confronted with or you see that you're willing to be that vocal, literally or maybe figuratively, about? We've witnessed almost a year of a pandemic and lockdowns, quarantining healthy people, never done before in the history of society. And like a bunch of sheep, we just kind of go along with it. Now, I'm not here to ignite or the buzzword of these days, incite anybody to violence, nor do I think the previous president did that. Talk about partisan politics and lies. But I'm just wondering where the fire of Christ is in the church. We've got meekness down, but what about boldness? 888-528-2557. We began the segment inviting those of you listening to share a story, something in the news you're passionate about and want to share your comments on the air. Dave is in Los Angeles. Dave, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Good to talk to you. Last couple times I called in, there was technical problems. I couldn't hear you. But I'm really disgusted with the whole thing that was happening with the seniors in New York, how thousands of them died, and people weren't even told about it publicly. It was hidden. Now it turns out there's over 5,000 more people than we were actually originally told. And Cuomo's still excusing his actions and blaming everyone else for it when it was his direct actions that caused it. So I watched a 30-minute clip this morning from the family members who lost people, the lawmakers there who are actually doing something, and the people heading up the group seniorsforjustice.com. And I just want to see more attention brought to that and the families to get justice for what was wrongfully done to their grandparents and parents that were literally killed because of it.
Well, I appreciate the call, Dave. Thank you for it. And I do think that more light has come to this issue that long has been buried. I mean, Governor Cuomo even got an Emmy, wrote a book. He did such a great job in New York. No, he didn't. And I'm just grateful this is being uncovered now, let alone a story related to him that's just as big. Sexual allegations. Of course, he denies them. This is the same governor that during the Kavanaugh hearing, he was taking to the microphone, ranting and raving about how we are to believe women with accusations. Now there is one woman that has lodged an accusation against him. He says he didn't do it. And at airtime, I read a story. There are two more now that have come to light that said, yes, indeed, Governor Cuomo did not act properly toward me. 888-528-2557. Bobby is in Montebello. Bobby, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you. Frank, I know you probably already covered this before, but can you please tell me, I don't wear a mask if I don't have to, but how is it that we are actually getting COVID-19 virus? Can you answer that, please?
Okay, I will try. Not really on topic, but let me take a step back. The topic is you're calling with information that you want to share. But since you asked, I'll turn it back to you. How do you get sick from like the common flu? There's viruses everywhere. How do we get sick? The environment, it gets on our hands. It can be evidently spread. How do you get a cold from somebody in your house when somebody sneezes? I mean, there's a lot of ways. Now you bring up you don't wear a mask unless you have to. I have read a lot of information that basically says when it comes to mask wearing, not really sustainable, if you will. So there's my brief answer. I mean, I go along. When we say COVID-19, what is it? We're hearing now about variants. I have it on good authority from three doctors that I know quite well. They all say the same thing. Variants are normal. And in the overwhelming amount of viruses, the strain is less powerful as it goes on. You wouldn't hear that if you listen to the mainstream media or even the idea of vaccinations. It can be very frustrating and also can potentially instill fear in people. But part of the anecdote to that, part of the vaccine, if you will, to that is information. And still there is a lot of information out there by which, whether it's mask wearing or vaccinations, what is proper, what are some of the other viewpoints versus the public narrative that we hear 24/7. With respect, I saw somebody today wearing two masks on, and I'm thinking, really? Is that really where we're going? Or Anthony Fauci talking about maybe even three. We're going to be wearing them to 2022. Why do we believe these people? That's a question I'd love to have a conversation with some of you about. What makes Anthony Fauci an expert? Honestly, I mean that with all honesty. We automatically assume he's the leading health expert of the country. Or you got a guy like John Kerry, who's been appointed by President Joe Biden. He's now the climate change czar. Wow, that's impressive. Like, boy, he must know a lot about climate change. He's the guy we need to listen to, the guy flying around in his private jet. Thank goodness we still have some level of a journalistic spirit when he was asked recently, hey, you're all about the carbon footprint and we have to cut back, and yet you fly a private jet? And he instantly spat it off, in essence, well, that's because I'm important. I have to get places quickly. Oh, okay. Right. That's the old adage, do as I say, not as I do. And I began this about outcry. How many of us have just had enough? In the state of California, you may or may not know the official tally now for the recall. Gavin Newsom has reached 1.825 signatures, 1.8 million, almost 2 million signatures. And I'm not all about emoting and just blasting off and being active for the sake of just feeling better. But it just seems to me that there are so many things going on in the world right now. I believe faith is under attack. Here's one for you. From my perspective, one of the main reasons why the Equality Act is being pushed, it's not primarily about transgender rights, even though that's what you'll hear. From my perspective, spiritually, it's about taking away religious rights. If you look at this as spiritual warfare and what this is about, this is an attempt to take away religious freedom, forcing us to do things against our faith. For me, that's where the real battle is. And you may not like what I'm going to say, may sound very unchristian-like. You can call me and we can have a conversation. But as much as I despise, it's an intentional word, the policies that are being pushed forth by this new administration that is so anti-God, I look more to the spirit behind what is going on. When you read Isaiah 5:20, literally, that you're being called a hate monger and a bigot if you don't stand for the Equality Act. And yet, what about our daughters? That if this becomes federal law, they'll be forced. Any biological boy can say, I'm a girl, forced to take a shower with your daughter. And we can go down the line. We talked about this yesterday. Where biological males competing against biological females. This is all about equality. This is a great thing. And this is what the left is pushing now. And I believe at the core of it, spiritually, is it's all about anti-God. Now, you may have a different response. You're welcome to call 888-528-2557. Now, other than Dave, no one really took me up on the idea of calling in with a particular topic that you're informed about, that you're passionate about, and that's okay. I know there is a propensity to want to kind of take a look at what I have to say and then talk about maybe something I raise. But if you listen to my program at all, this isn't about Frank has the answers. Ultimately, the Bible has all the answers. But I also don't think it's about us just sitting in our pews of our churches, those that were once open, and just look to the pastor for all the answers. God wants to move through you. When I hear Bevel and Beatty yelling, I'm like, that's a woman that knows Jesus. What about you? Are you not upset? Are you not angry? Or do you think, oh, anger is not Christ-like? When the Bible says, be angry but don't sin. Like we completely make anger something, oh no, not in the church, we hear a very soft, smiley message. I heard three sermons over the weekend. It was all about happiness and joy and not addressing anything that's going on in our country right now. It's all about, you know, Jesus is, he's the answer and we're all good. And praise God, that is absolutely the gospel truth. But if you just look around what's going on in our world, do we need to read another story? And I thank God for law enforcement and those involved. Do we need to read another story where hundreds of young people have been picked up that were sex trafficked? And we just kind of think, at one time, not in our country, we understand now this is going on right here in the United States. But what do we do about this? Do we just say God's in control and we pray and it's all good and we smile and we hear the joy of the gospel? Triple 888-528-2557. We have two open lines. You're welcome to share. And we will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. 888-528-2557 are the phone numbers to call into the program. Later this segment, kind of growing up, an iconic toy that we all played with is now coming under attack. Y'all remember Mr. Potato Head? This story, I could say, is unbelievable and insane, but this is where we are. If you haven't heard the story, stay tuned. You'll want to hear that. Let's go back to the phones. David in North Hollywood, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I appreciate all the things that you're doing and being a voice for so many Christians. But one thing that has been on my mind through all of this is I think it all starts with strong men that have faith in the Lord, that are not only that not only lead the family and teach the children, but also are responsible and focus their energy on the family.
I would not only completely agree with you, I would just reiterate that's one of the many reasons why I started a men's ministry for that very reason. So let me ask you this. You sound like you're a little younger than me. What would you imagine? What would you imagine the world, our country, the communities would be if more men that identified themselves as followers of Christ would step up and take back ground, take back their homes, learn to be the spiritual leader of their homes, take back their community, stand firm against ideologies that are anti-God. I mean, men just stepping forward and being men. What do you think would happen to our society?
Well, I definitely think there'd be a lot more peace and calmness. I think that you'll see a lot of responsible people. And we wouldn't be seeing the things we're seeing now. I mean, whether it be LGBTQ or Black Lives Matter, we'd see, I think, people helping people, responsibility, and loving one another through strength.
If I may ask, and I only ask out of curiosity, how old are you?
I'm 45.
Now, the whole gender attack that's going on now, where there are more than two genders, somehow there are, depending on who you're indoctrinated by or who you believe or what theories you buy into. It could be anywhere. I saw one that the number of genders are infinite. So in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, it says God made male and female. So for you, what does it mean for you to be a man of God?
To be a man of God is to guide the family, to guide your wife, your children to God, and to teach them the word, teach them what it is to be like Christ, and to share love in a disciplined way.
Well, I think that is definitely a part of it. And David, thank you for raising this. I'll say it simply. If more men rediscovered who they are as followers of Christ, I think we've got a problem in the church. Men think that we're just supposed to be nice. We look to Jesus. Oh, yeah, he just hugged everybody. He hung out with sinners. That's kind of the message we've been given. And he did do that in part, but he also upset a lot of people. He got angry. He formed a whip overnight. Right? You know the story about the money changers. Jesus walked up to the temple, saw what they did. You know, he went back, formed a whip, went back the next day and wreaked a little havoc, a little righteous havoc. But I think one of the greatest crises that we have in our country is men not being men. Strong men, not stepping forward. And in my ministry, step one is to just admit, man, I'm messed up, I'm jacked up, I'm confused, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. We've got to be willing to speak the truth first, not kind of act a certain way or emulate what we think is the right way to be. And David, I absolutely think you're hitting it right on cue. Thank you for raising that. Kate in Huntington Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. I hope you're a little bit familiar with what I'm talking about, because I don't remember all the details. But yesterday, when I was listening to the Jordan Seculo show, they were talking about seven questions that were handed down to, like, our carriers of our phone and maybe carriers of our internet, people that were able to get conservative news from. And it sounded like they were putting pressure on them to either, are you going to cancel Newsmax? Are you One World News? People like that. They had questions like, if at the end of their contract, are you going to cancel them? Are you still carrying them? And if you are, why? So basically, it's about taking away our ability to listen to the conservative side, or maybe even the truth. I don't even know if I would say the conservative side, but listen to truth and not just the narrative that media is putting out there. And I just wanted to add to that about if they put pressure on these companies to not give us the ability to listen to those news channels, are they just, I feel like they're just going to go as far as taking away anything where we might hear any pastors or church online or anything Christian that we want to listen to.
Well, let me respond. Kate, thank you. You are correct. And I'm grateful for those that are willing to speak out and share these stories. I would think Ben Shapiro and Daily Wire are kind of at the forefront, as well as some other websites. But it goes back even deeper than that. And we've been hearing a lot about tech giants trying to monopolize and censor any dissenting thought from the public narrative that they want to push out. I mean, we saw it happen recently with Parler. I think it was Amazon, Apple, and Google cut off Parler, right? Because, well, in part, the former president and conservative thought, this has been an ongoing reality that's been happening now for a few months. The tech giants are trying to control the thought of many people. And the uninformed or those that want to stay indifferent or ignorant say, oh, you just sound so paranoid. No, it's not paranoia at all. It's literally what is going on. If you look to the mainstream narrative and what they say, Tucker Carlson is second to none, where he'll do exposés and have video clips of all the mainstream outlets saying the talking points of the day. They all say the same words. They get the same talking points. The days of trying to get a balanced view of what's going on in the world by watching this mainstream media channel and this one and this one, and then you kind of come to your own conclusions, they're all the same now. Even Fox has kind of gone that way. And so in terms of dissenting voices being silenced, we're here. This attempt is on full tilt right now. And I think once we let it go to a certain extent, it's going to be really hard to get back those rights. That's why part of what I say often on this program is we need to speak up. First and foremost, we need to be educated. Blind emotionalism doesn't do anybody any good. Glenn in Torrance. Glenn, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you. I just, going to that same point, and say with the Daily Wire, how we use our funds, our power, our time, what we invest in, it says to mainstream media, either this is acceptable or not acceptable. And I'll use a case in point in my own personal life. I've been a football fan my whole life. I wanted to be a professional football player. But based on what the NFL did this season, I boycotted. I didn't watch one game. When anybody would talk to me about a game, I'd say, you know, because of the way the stance they took, the way they handled Drew Brees, et cetera, and moved down through this, have a conversation. It brings up a dialogue and makes your circle of friends think, maybe I don't want to spend my money there. Maybe I don't want to buy the jersey. Maybe I don't want to sign up to, you know, the cable feed, et cetera. And if you look throughout our life at how we look at our entertainment and how we use our money and each one of these things, I believe that when we look at our Christian fundamentals and our conservative fundamentals, or even if they're liberal fundamentals, but they're Christian fundamentals, if you come back to the Christian side, we will have unity there, and our power, when we feel voiceless and powerless, that's where we can exert power.
Well, let me respond. We're two kindred spirits here on the idea of what we can do and how much of a difference we can make as individuals. Glenn, thank you. I made mention of Bevelyn Beatty. One woman took to the streets in New York and just wasn't having it. And because of her actions, and yes, she has a social media platform that has grown, but one woman, you talk about the impact of boycotting or saying, no, I'm not going to watch the NFL. Same thing happened to me this year. I was disgusted that all of a sudden, and I think reasonable people could say at times the NFL has kind of bought into the politicization of society, but when they made this outright no return, they're pro Black Lives Matter, the movement, and you see things in the end zone and things on helmets, and you mentioned the way they treated Drew Brees. I'm with you. And there are a lot of us. See, but the lie of the enemy is you're just one person. Don't even bother. That's why the church is in some ways so indifferent, so marginalized, so impotent. And then the lies are even embellished by, well, you listen to a guy like Sontag on the air. He's all about, you know, inciting violence and anger. No, I'm not. There is something called righteous indignation. The Bible says you can be angry without sin. We're just literally going to, I mean, here's the one. We're gonna now, we live in a time where part of the education curricula is that our kids are going to learn there's more than two genders, or they're 6 years old and, hey, Johnny, you're really Janie because you're having thoughts. Like, we all didn't go through steps. Man, when I went through puberty, I was insane. And now we have a president that you helped elect if you voted for this guy. I'm getting emails, people saying, I voted for President Biden, I'm proud of it, I'm Christian. This is the guy that stood up in a debate. Yeah, if an 8-year-old thought that, I don't remember, it was from a boy to a girl, girl to a boy, if they think they're a girl and they want to be a boy, I think that's a wonderful thing. We shouldn't hold them back. They should be allowed to do that. And you vote for this guy. It's an amazing time, and it's an exciting time, because God's not missing anything. That's the bottom line to this. If we really understood what God was doing, we'd fall to our knees again and literally live out 2 Chronicles 7:14. 888-528-2557. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. On the break, I received an email from listener Tim in Garden Grove, and he asked a very important question that I want to spend a moment on. Tim's evidently listened to the program just a few times, kind of a new listener, and paraphrasing, it's a long email. In essence, he said, how do I get fired up like I hear you? And there's a lot of detail and a lot of backstory. And let me say it a different way. If you love the Word of God, and if you have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, this is a byproduct. It's not something you have to will yourself to do. Now, there is truth in maybe being an activist and forming a group, a nonprofit, and you choose together to take action against something by which you have a mission statement and you're going to try to right some wrongs. I think that's part of it too, but don't misunderstand. If you love the Lord and you read his book and you understand the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be directed. You'll be guided. You'll wake up in the morning passionate about the day, like, Lord, what would you have me do today? You know, one of the popular scriptures, Philippians 4:13, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We kind of just use that. But if you read the verses before that and understand the context. We can't do any of this on our own. It's the power of Christ through us. You know, I think of the great Billy Graham in his life and all that he did and all that he taught and preached. This isn't about man's endeavor. This is about men and women, humankind, mankind that love the Lord and give him glory and work for the greater good. And Billy Graham once said it in a way that's undeniable.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
When you put your trust and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will lead you. And your prayer is, Lord, lead me today for your glory. I love Francis Chan. He was my first pastor, and I remember early on he recited a prayer that sounds very inspirational when you first hear it, like, wow, yeah, that's a great prayer. And it was something along the lines of, Lord, whatever happens today in my life, may it lead me closer to you. And the Christian community can say amen, and we're like, yeah, I love that. Yeah, I want to be closer to God. And then Francis kind of expounded a bit on what that meant. He used the example of being on an airplane at 30,000 feet and a couple of the engines blow. That'd be an answer to prayer, right? Lord, whatever happens to me today, may it bring me closer to you. But I think we just have this way that we live our lives in the West that's, I don't know what it is. We're too comfortable. We have too much choice. We're just kind of soft. I don't know exactly what it is, but we like the perfect Christianity, right? The love part. God loves us. We're all children of God. We're all going to go to heaven. But we don't want to have anything to do with the realities of suffering or sin or even sanctification. We have a trial in our life and a dark season, and we start tapping out, and I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. Well, that says a lot about the foundation that you've embraced in your relationship with him at the beginning. So maybe it's time for us to recommit. Maybe it's time for us to say, Lord, I don't know where I've been. Forgive me. I repent. I'll go back to David's call from previous. Men listening, the first step is to be honest about what you're doing and where you're at. And if you're not right with God, come alongside. Get accountability. State the truth. Stop isolating. Stop acting like everything's okay. Goodness, statistically, 30% of pastors say they view pornography regularly. 30%? If it was even 10%. So we have to at least state where we're at and that we're sinful, but I heard it once said, we're not desperate enough for God. We're not desperate enough for the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, you should come from the place of, I can't make it through today without you, Jesus. And that way you rely on him. You're dependent on him throughout the day. Not just, okay, I got this. I read my 10 minutes of Bible and I'm good. I feel strong, and let's just go out there and see what the world has for me. No, Jesus, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. That is true power. You want to talk about God doing something we don't even recognize? People that love the Lord an amazing time to be alive right now and be a follower of Christ. This is the Frank Sontag Show.